The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
La 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 la. La 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 la. La 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 la. I represent Bahamian people. I from Nassau, Bahamas, big up Baton, bro. Boy, I from Baton, bro. Right between West and Augusta, where them two roads meet, they call it Wilkinson Street. Manners and respect was like a sign blind check. It seems the ones that come in after quick to disrespect. You see, this life in the ghetto never easy. So many hungry days break, tell it grieve me. Boy, I doing the best I can, trying to turn my dollar to $100,000. I represent the ghetto people. I from Nassau, Bahamas, big up Baton, bro. Boy, I from Baton, bro. Don't take no back talk, no bribe or no joke. If you find fire, you're definitely find smoke. Baton, bro. Boy, I from Baton, bro. Baton, I say up and running. Caliban say my show boy don't ever give in. 7 years of farming, watch the crops them coming. True, they see a humble thing, the lion sleeping. But they ain't for no reason, reason. Only that I believe in, living. Watch them only pass for a season.
Good night, Bahamas. And to international listeners that listen to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. And also those who listen to Inside the Inner City on this particular time on Friday. Telephone numbers tonight on Guardian Radio 96.9 are 323-6232-325-4316, 325-4259. And you can text us, powered by BTC, at 422-GR96. And I guess you can listen to Cable Bahamas 969, and you can listen to the conversation. And those who want to comment can reach us at the telephone line, or you can text us, powered by BTC. I'm your host, Valentino O'Brien, host of the talk show Inside the Inner City, that comes on Friday at 6:30 to 8 p.m., except holidays, and we provide the general public with the inside stuff concerning the inner city community. And we talk a lot about politics, which we know a lot about. We talk a lot about the beliefs. But most importantly, we talk about the crisis that are happening in our country, because all this plays an effect on us in the country. And we just want the general public to know that us living in the inner city community are quite aware, and we are quite intelligent, and we can speak out. So we use this platform to find solutions for the country's problem, what we have been doing for many, many years. And I am really humbled to walk around Nassau, and people just notice me by me speaking in the mall or in the food store or walking in the streets. And I would just like to say this to each and every one of you who get to meet me and greet me and tell me many things. I didn't know I made that type of impact on your lives or in the country. I'm happy to know that many persons who I meet are very happy to meet me. And they say that I'm an outspoken person, but I speak for what's true. I have a lot of the solutions for the country. I do a lot of work for the country. But all in all, I just like to say thanks to everyone that I meet in the last weeks and days. I really appreciate it. If I'm ever down and out and feel depressed, on life struggles, and I'm walking on a food store, and one of you guys, female or male, pull up on me, or a little kid, and say, man, that's you, be on the radio? And I'd say, yeah. And he'd say, man, he or she would say, man, you do an awesome job, man. I love listening to you, because you talk reality, you talk our life, you telling them how we are feeling and what we are going through, and we know what they're up to. And I am really appreciative, and I want to say to each and every one of you who also tell me they wait specifically for 6:30 to 8 p.m. just to tune in to listen to the show. I would like to say, wow, that's amazing. And I just want to say thank you very much. And I really, really appreciate it. And many of you make my day. Okay. Today's topic, we're going to piggyback on last week when we talked about we had the One Family, Victorious One Family, Junkun Group. When and on, he was speaking why. When in 357, he was talking why Zoom. And he was talking about the success of the One Family Group winning both the Christmas Day Junkun Parade and the New Year's Day Junkun Parade. And he congratulated each and every Junkun Group, as well as myself. And I'd just like to say all the Junkunners, you guys did a wonderful job. And, you know, get back in the shack. Let's get back to it. And, you know, we had a conversation, and in the conversation, we started to talk about, you know, what can happen with a Junkunner and how it could be a profitable entity and make millions of dollars for unemployed persons in the country and those who also might be employed but in the Junkun field. And we came up with a lot of ideas that we were talking about on the show. We're going to talk about that in the latter half of the show. But in the first half, I really want to talk about a little bit about the alarm and the child abuse statistics for about 30 minutes. Then I'm going to talk about the economy. We're going to talk about the Bahamas requires $16 billion economy to make sense. And we're going to read that. And we're going to see how all this fits in. But I just want everyone who is listening, I want you to know that being alarmed at the child abuse statistics in the country is also the main cause why we have so much high crime in the country. Because these same children that abuse at a younger age become teenagers and they become parents and they didn't get the proper mental health. You know, they were abused, and then they take this on into their boyfriend-girlfriend relationship, or they take it when they get married. And, you know, a few weeks ago, the Prime Minister's wife was speaking on the fact of amending laws to the matrimonial rape, you know, because, you know, women, you know, are saying that, you know, they're being raped in marriage. And she's one of the advocates, which I think is just wonderful and great to see that the First Lady of the Bahamas is taking on such a great initiative. And that's what we need to see from our leaders in the country. And like I said, many women feel that they're being abused and raped in marriage. And Mrs. Davis is advocating for laws to be amended that deal with this particular situation. And I mentioned a few weeks ago that it's all said and good, and I understand exactly where they're coming from, but that's the last straw. You know, we need to get to preventative measures before it gets to where a man would have to even think about raping his wife. He should be well disciplined to know that these are not the qualities of a man. These are the qualities of a boy action, because I don't think no man who is married, if him and his wife, you know, whatever the situation, she feel that she should not or not want sex, you know. I feel that even though in the marriage it says that, you know, we are one, to death do us part, you know, and etc. And I know that the man might feel and use that as a way to manipulate the woman or abuse the woman or force herself on a woman. Okay, and I understand that. But have we ever thought that maybe all this started from this alarm of child abuse statistics in the country? You know, that's the end part. All I'm saying is if we take a deep look at the whole situation, and we've seen an alarm of child abuse statistics in the country, and I'm going to read on it. And if we look at this, you know, because this statistics was done about a year or two ago, but we had many statistics about child abuse, and every year we had high numbers of child abuse. We could go back probably 20 to 30 years and we have had child abuse, probably even 40 years where we've had child abuse. And over the 40 years, could you imagine how many persons have committed indictable offenses or very violent crimes against he or she in the country? order that statistics. And then we're going to have it again, because in this statistics here, we don't know which one of these kids who is going to take the wrong part, who is going to abuse their wife, who is going to abuse their husband, you know, who is going to abuse their kids, you know, and et cetera, and et cetera. And like I said, when the first lady, Miss Davis, is advocating for, you know, the amendments for laws to be passed to protect the woman and to be able to persecute the man in the marriage, it's a tricky, tricky situation. And like I said before, what if that's just the end part? What if the child abuse from a young age, what leads to a man wanting to rape his wife, even though it cannot be considered rape in a marriage? It could be considered rape in a boyfriend, girlfriend relationship, etc., or someone who sees somebody and accosts somebody, that is rape. They're trying to decide now on what the first lady is trying to advocate for, is to make it where the man can be persecuted for his actions. And like I said, maybe we should start preventative measures and go from there. But before I read the statistics on the abuse in the newspaper, I just want to give a shout out to the Big Harvest community. Pastor John Lee Ferguson, former Commissioner of Police, he will be having his 29th rally in the alley, you know, Sunday, 2023, 29th, Woods Alley, formerly known as Choke Neck Alley. You will hear Simeon Hall talking about crime and young men, and he would mention Choke Neck Alley. Well, Choke Neck Alley is actually on Market Street in what we now call Woods Alley. So we'd have the 29th of January, 2023, Woods Alley. We'll be having the 29th rally in the alley. Many persons would be there, the community would be there. Persons will be in supporting the community on the rally in the alley at the Big Harvest Community Center will be in present. Police, persons who, like I said, have been sponsoring the Big Harvest Community Center to help improve the condition. And this is situated in the same community of Grandstand that we are all working together to make it a better environment and a better community for all. So I want to say, come out in full force. And again, I'd like to give my thumbs up to former Commissioner of Police, John Lee Ferguson. He's now a bishop. Okay. So I want to read this real quick, and then see how all this ties in to how we got to be able to empower. Okay? All right. During the same period last year, there were a total of 258 cases of 258 new cases of the a force under the crime referred to the country. Of those cases, 82 were reports of child sex abuse, 54 of physical abuse, 13% of verbal abuse, one of the emotional abuse, 102 of the children neglected, and 6 were child abandonment. While the latest data did not show an increase in reported cases of child sex abuse and child abandonment, when compared to 2021, it did show a slight rise in reported cases of child neglect for that time period. Commenting on the statistics yesterday, Tennille Burrows of Rise Bahamas, she's an advocate, she's doing a wonderful job of Rise Bahamas, called a alarming, saying more needs to be done to better protect our children. It is alarming that we continue to see high numbers of reported child abuse statistics, although there does not seem to be extensive public outrage until a child is murdered. Child physical abuse times lead to their death, she said in a statement. In the instance of the baby Bella, it is reported by the media that some of the children's neighbors suspected that the child was in an abusive household, but never reported it. In 2022, Rise Bahamas provided the introduction of the Bellis Bill, which would expand the mandatory reporting categories where child abuse is suspected to include immediate family guardians and are given. We urge the public to vigilantly and respectfully report cases of child abuse to the Department of Social Service. Dennis Major, a board member of the advocate group, agreed that more people need to be held accountable, saying the number of reports is not reflected in the amount of cases that are that we are seeing in this trend. Social Service Minister Obi Wilsham could not be reached for comments on the matter, but in April, Mr. Wilsham told reporters that child abandonment had become more prevalent in recent years. Mr. Wilsham said the time he believed the abandonment trend was related to the COVID-19 pandemic and the economy. We talk about COVID and we talked about Dorian, but the truth is it's been happening since Hurricane Francis. Well, not even before Hurricane Francis. This been going on for way before Hurricane Francis, been going on for the last 40 years. Okay? What is Jane Wilmer from 204? That economy has not regained its strength. We have to fix the economy. The minister added, we have to create opportunities for the many who don't have and find themselves in a dilemma. And the only way to deal with a certain situation sometimes they believe is to run away from it. But we have to tell people that that's not the way to deal with matters. Mr. Richcombe also conceded that cases of abuse, particularly sexual abuse, were unacceptable. So if you listen to where I'm coming from, you would see we talked about statistics, we talked about different child abuse, we're talking about, were 82 were reports of sex abuse, and we had 54 physical abuse, 13 were verbal abuse, one was emotional abuse, 102 children were neglected, and 6 were abandoned. So all those are abuse. There are different categories. They analyze it and put in statistics. So what that means for us? It means that we could talk all we want about crime. We could talk about programs all we want. If we don't enforce the programs, these same kids now who we're talking about right now, in the next 10, 15 years, we'd be reading about them in the newspaper, either killing somebody, raping somebody, being abusive to somebody, okay? And it goes on and on and on and on. So I understand this from a very long time because I was a part of this type of treatment, but I was never abused in my household. My grandmother loved me. My auntie and uncle, they did their best for me. It's just that outside in the community, it was a wild, wild west. And the house was good. They teach me the basics and et cetera. But once leaving that house, it was a different world and I got caught up in the streets. And it's still like that today. And that's why when we have programs, we're gonna have to make sure that it's enforced. You know, it has to be continuous, 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 continuous. Okay? as we're going to have the same cycle over and over and over again. And what this has to do with the economy? Well, why would Richcombe mention that at the end? Listen closely. This is a child statistic, but why would he mention economy? This is his words. I'm just trying to tell you people, I was on to something from a very long time ago. I know all this comes down to the economy. Some cases of crime doesn't come down to the economy, like intentional murder, rape, raping little boys, raping little girl, little babies, little girls, and et cetera. That is unacceptable. That is a person who is twisted, okay, and has to be taken out of society, okay? There's some crimes I don't condone. I don't condone rape. I don't condone intentional murder. I don't condone sexual abuse against minors. Okay, there are some of the things I never, ever defend because I feel that you're strong enough to know that a child is a child and that you should not molest a child or abuse a child because you were once a child. So there's no excuse for that. Economy has nothing to do with that. Money has nothing to do with it. Rape, money has nothing to do with it. Okay? That's just a twisted person who is a devil and needs to be locked away for the rest of the days. A person who intentionally kills means a person who goes out there, be a hitman, goes after, gets money from somebody and goes and shoots somebody who has done them nothing. Okay? Those things I don't take up for. If you defending yourself, someone trying to come harm you, breaking your house, or trying to violate you and you have to protect yourself, I could say in self-defense, I support you. Okay? Yes. All right, so I hope you get a good understanding about that. But it has to do a lot. Besides those four or five things I talked about, like the intentional murder, the rape, the child abuse or child murder, or anything to deal with that, like the Marco Watcher, this don't concern them. Those are persons who are twisted, so I ain't even talking about them. I'm even talking about the rest of stuff that we could categorize. And there might be one or two more things I could add on to that list, but they just put forward. But for them, they're the main set. Okay? And why would he say that? Listen to Mr. Richcombe. We have to create opportunities for many who don't have and find themselves in a dilemma. And the only way to deal with a situation sometimes they believe is to run away from it. But we have to tell people that's not the way to go. Right? So, people abandon their children. They go with their lives. They leave their children home in houses. Whoever child is the oldest, the boy or girl, has to be the parent wise. The mother or the father goes on whatever they got to do, go to the nightclub or work as an excuse, because, you know, if they have no one to watch the kids and they don't have no money to put them in a kindergarten school, you know, the oldest kid, boy or girl, is going to be responsible. Why is the mother goes to work? And when she comes home, she do her best. But even daughters get twisted because she's still living her life. So sometimes when she come home, you know, she would leave food in the house and et cetera. She wouldn't have no time to let the kids them, help the kids them study or talk to the kids. You know, she just, oh, I tired. And when she get up, you know, she go into the club just to relax her mind, not knowing that she's supposed to spend and do some other things. But poverty and the economy plays an important role in this, because if she or he was financially stable, maybe they could have put the kids in the kindergarten. Okay, and then she could go to work. You know, the kids are taken care of, and she could go to work. She's comfortable knowing that kids are in school. She is to work, so when she gets off, she could collect them. She could go home. And then she could, if she decide on a Friday or Saturday to go, she could do that now. You know, because the kids are not so responsible as being the parent. But you notice that a child at the age of 7, 8, or 10 come down, minding 3 other children, and they have to take on the characteristics. They have to take on the responsibility of feeding, cooking. And then when the parent comes home, sometimes they're a favorite. So if this one chastising the little brother or little sister on teaching him what is right and what's wrong, then the parent sometimes jump on that child. And that child rebels because the child starts saying, these are your children in their mind. But you saying that's your brother and sister, and you taking care of the child, you think it's, you was the judge during the execution. So you put all the pressure on the child, but not knowing that this is a child, and the child cannot take on the responsibility of an adult. And in many cases, thousands of kids are going through this right now while we speak. We're going to take this call. I hope this is a very good caller calling in, not a chronic caller, or trying to make a point as a person who is new to their waves, or someone who has a good solution or wants to comment. Go ahead, caller. You're on Inside Inner City.
You.
Good night.
No, I'm not a chronic caller.
No, I don't say that. I don't want no chronic callers to be calling. I tired of them. It's 2013.
I have called twice already, twice before, but I listened to the show quite a bit. But on your topic, in fact, I was trying to reach you last week to congratulate the one family, but I couldn't get through.
Okay.
But on the topic that you're speaking of, I witnessed yesterday at an establishment a young lady who obviously, trying to do the best that she can. Her kids walked to the her place of employment after school, and they sat in her car until she obviously was getting off, and she was able to see them through the office window, from the office window where she worked. And I suppose she's doing the best that she can.
Yes.
Under the circumstances, but... You know, I just want to, perhaps we can get to the point in the Bahamas where employers are appreciative of the fact that you do have a lot of single parents, single moms, especially working for them, who are probably making, just a little bit more than minimum wage. And they should perhaps have a lunchroom or a seating area where kids in those circumstances can sit, after school for about 2 hours. Obviously, the kids will have to be told they can't be running up and down, and it's not a playground and what have you. I know at a place where I'm employed, we do have various eating facilities, and we do have some of the older kids who can come in and sit after pickup until the parents get off. But again, like I said, that requires the child to be a certain age and to have a certain level of responsibility. But, hopefully more employers could probably think on that and do something about that. Because you do have a lot of homes where very young girls are becoming mothers very quickly because they have to take care of their minor siblings. And really, they end up growing up having animosity towards them. You know, they end up having dislikes. Now, some of them are close because, as a Bahamian culture, we tend to be a very loving and accommodating people. So for the most part, the families will grow up and they will be united and what have you. But sometimes you might have one or two where they have this level of, I'm the oldest and I had to take care of you. No one took care of me and I was forced to be an adult a lot quicker than I would have liked. So, we have to come up as a country, we have to come up with solutions. The government is not able to provide after-school facilities for our kids, then perhaps the employers have to step up and do a little bit more,
Makes sense.
I don't know. It's a cost thing, but, obviously you can't have babies being minded in the area, but the child will have to be of a certain age. But that said, I may not be available to call back when you have the Junkanoo segment, but I just want to say I wanted to shout out last week to one family for just representing and letting the Bahamas and in the world know what they are capable of, because that music was rocking. And like I said to a friend of mine who said to me on the New Year's Day Junkanoo, he said, one family has won best music in his eyes. I said, well, if one family won best music, one family has won the parade. Because whoever wins best music wins the parade. That's as far as I'm concerned. So I just want to just congratulate all the One Family Warriors. They did a phenomenal job. I just look forward to bigger and better things for them this year.
Wow. Awesome. And
thank you very much.
Thank you very much. And your solution was excellent. In fact, you mentioned the government talking about building daycare. This is a requirement now. I think this is a requirement from the IDB. This is one of the solutions we talked about many years sitting down on the board. And this is a requirement for government now. I don't know what the issue is now, but they were saying that in the grandstand area, they was looking at the use of the old preschool building across from Pewdie Bakery between Market Street and Blue Road. In there, it's the old St. Agnes preschool. And as a solution to single parents, mothers and probably even fathers and all, they wanted to start to build daycare or find a center in that particular area where mothers who are going to work can leave their children there to be properly monitored. And, you know, so I think it's time now that we start to enforce these solutions. See, the solutions are there. The whole solution for crime is here in the blueprint. Okay? It's the fact now we have got to execute. You know, let's start. You know, we understand what causes it now. We have the statistics. We know that we have to be preventative. We know that folks in prison is the last stage. You know, we have to get ahead of the problem. We have to bend the tree before it grows tall. So it has to be a preventative measure. That means from the child is born and comes into this world, we have to make sure the community is a place for the child to live, to learn, to play, to have fun, and develop. Make sure that the school is teaching them the proper education, teaching them business, teaching them about nature, and they also teach them about trade. The community provides the, what you call, the community provides like the village aspect again, where we discipline and we educate and we talk to the youngsters that live in this community and teach them what it is to be a man, what it is to be a woman, right? What it is to be married. Why should you get married? And if you're in a boyfriend relationship, why is it good to listen to one, let one speak first, and let the next one speak next? We need to tell a woman, we need to tell the ladies that it's better to not be so loud and say hurtful things to your boyfriend or to your husband, because in return he gets angry and he takes his anger and frustration on his next other. But it's all because of the way she speaks to him, or it could be the way he's treating her and the way he speaks to her and she speaks back. So we have to learn how to communicate with one another in a relationship, okay? So we have to deal with preventative measures, okay? So now I'm going to talk about Carlos Reed. I just had the newspaper. Yes, I want to talk again. That's why I say, for the last few years, I was a part of a criminal element, early part of the stage of my life. From I was born in the Grandstand area, like I said, I was witnessing violent crime, drugs, people getting shoot, stabbed, whatever you could imagine was going on. Sexual abuse, and that's when it was rampant. Back in the early 90s, early 80s and 90s, and early 2000s, it was rampant. It was more, 10 times more serious here than it is now. It's just expanded because the Bahamas has gotten bigger, had a new subdivision, and the population has grown to about 300 more thousand people. Okay? So, Mr. Carlos Reed is a consultant at the Ministry of National Security. Me and Mr. Reed have worked together many years ago in the Grandstand community, along with Miles Monroe and Dave Burrows. And over their journey, they came in with Miles Monroe at the Diplomat Center, and their task was to try and find ways to help change the mindset of the young persons who was involved in gang activities. And over the course of the year, Mr. Reed has continued his journey to educate the general public and the government on ways and how it can be able to assist the less fortunate so that they don't end up in prison and become a statistics or harm innocent people in the country because of their lack of knowledge. And he talks a lot about the gangs. And I always mention that I was a gang leader, so no one could talk to me about gang. All right? I was a gang leader. I wasn't in a gang. I was a gang leader, and I helped form a gang. I was there when the gang formed, so I was never in a gang. I helped form a gang, and I was one of the gang leaders along with my friends, them through Honeycomb Street. Okay, so there's the difference. So no one can tell me nothing when it comes to gangs. Okay? If you ain't been involved in no shooting, if you ain't been involved in no stabbing, if you ain't been in the prison, if you ain't had about 1,000 confrontations and 1,000 fights like that I've been in, and if you look at my body, you would see pellets in me, you would see stab wounds in me, you would see ball marks in my head, and all kind of scars in my body. That's how much fights I've been in. That's how much shooting I've been in. That's how much stabbing I've been in. And I've been locked up in the police station, must say about, in my lifetime, probably about 300 times in the station, and twice I was remanded to a Fox Hill prison for a few weeks based on I was a threat to society. So there's no one could talk to me. I've dealt with the highest set of police officers in the country, from the commissioner to the next commissioner to former commissioners to senior cops who are still on the Royal Bahamas Police Force, like B.K. Barnaby Jr., even Clayton Fernando, Commissioner Clayton Fernando. I get so much different officers I could call who I had interacted with when they was trying to arrest me for criminal offenses in the country. Solomon Cash, Assistant Commissioner of Police Solomon Cash, Mark Barrett, Chief Superintendent Mark Barrett, former Chief Superintendent Douglas Hanna, former Inspector Warry Sanders, you know. So there's no one in this country could tell me nothing about gangs or violence or about prison or what goes on. Okay? And he is making a statement that we must tackle root issues of crime. Now, if you listen closely, let me show you all these ties in. See, we must tackle root issues of crime. Now, in the papers, we have here alarm at child abuse statistics. Now, when we're saying we must tackle root issues of crime, all those serious offenses that happened in the country were once a statistics of child abuse, majority. So you see, now we are finding out all the solution now is what we're going to do. So let me read it. Okay. A local community activist just called for a shift in the way the country deals with crime following a rise in killing last year. I think it was a wreck, 127. For this year, two people have already been killed in the new year. A couple were shot dead in Mounted Lights on Monday. In an interview, Mr. Reid, a consultant at the Ministry of National Security, thinks the country's crime crisis is a result of several root issues. One, adding that there are not enough resources dedicated to the prevention, intervention, and rehabilitation. Yes, Mr. Reid, now we're talking. That's what it is, because I have known all along, like I said, I was in the gang. Okay? I was a gang leader along with other gang leaders, and we were the top gang leaders. There were only about four of us at the top, and then others came. Okay? And I poisoned myself. I used to have close to about 2,000 young men who I know who used to come around and frequent the areas, or even more than this over the period that we was involved in gangs. And in the community that I resided, Grandstand, Lewis Street, Hay Street, and Taylor Street, even though it was a gang-infested area, not everyone in the community was in the gang. Let me just tell you that even when this gang was rampant in the 90s, so I could tell you this, so I've always been saying this, okay?
But they had to be careful. So I always knew it wasn't really a gang problem. I know if we did these things here, prevention, intervention, and rehabilitation. Okay? See, I already knew that. So when I was hearing all the gang terror, gang wars, I understand there are many young men involved. We were the first set involved with gangs, but we used to be in numbers. The next set after that, like 10, 15 years who came after us, they were more like pockets of guys who were together, but after they follow, someone steal their gun, or you was my friend, you go on behind my back and check my girlfriend, or you steal my drugs, or I say something with you, and you're supposed to be my boy and my best friend, I kill you for that, and et cetera. Okay? Yeah. Why? So, eventually, your friendship could break up. Okay? So, what am I saying? I'm saying that we have to be able to prevent rehabilitate means that they're in the prison. This is last stage. So prevent means that we're going to have, like I said earlier, we're going to have to develop the communities with community centers. We're going to find ways how we can bring empowerment to the community, because without empowerment, we can't deal with the crime issue. You know, we need training centers in these communities. We need the parks to be properly funded where we could have sports activity from January to December. We need the local churches to be more involved and see who they could grab up and assist in the community. You know, we need government to focus more on allowing local government to be a part of New Providence. We need to encourage more small business opportunities in inner city communities so that we get a lot of people business-minded. We have to create an atmosphere where the community that the kid is going to be born and be grown in has all the adequate tools. So we have to invest. So let me read what Mr. Carlos Reed is saying. Two people have already been killed in the new year after a couple were shot to death on Monday as they slept in the Montalites home. Mr. Reed thinks the country crime crisis is a result of several root issues, adding that there are not enough resources dedicated to the prevention, intervention, and rehabilitation. He deemed preventive measures as a vital part of tackling the matter, adding that individuals must be adequately prepared to face the reality of failure. Yes, because failure is what's going to make you a better person. Life is not going to be all good. Failure is what made me continue to keep on pushing. I'm still pushing. I'm always at my journey where I'm going to enjoy myself for the rest of my days if the Father allow me to live. So I just say yes. All right? We need to start raising the kind of citizens that we basically want to see, as we have to go back to the basics. Basic means we have to teach them self-discipline. Like I said, with teaching, you know, when I was talking with the Honorable Brave Davis' wife when she was speaking on the marital rape, and we're looking to make amendments to persecute the male if he violated his wife. But I say, you know, that's just the end part. We have to go to the beginning. And Mr. Reed is speaking on it also. We must be adequately prepared to face. Right, oh, let me see what's going on. All right, we need to start raising up the kind of citizens that we basically want to see. So we have to go back to the basic. What we are putting in the poison said, we are training everybody for success. But I believe that the time has come when we must got to prepare people for failure, because success is something that you might experience, but failure is something that you will experience. According to Pastor Reed, 46 of the 128 murders murder victim last year were people who were either electronically monitored or on bail for murder. Those, he said, reflects the retaliation is one of the biggest contribution factors to crime in the country, noting that crime prevention and intervention are important. However, the country also needs to find ways to solve murder cases faster. While acknowledging the flaws in the judicial system, Pastor Reed also noted that rehabilitation structures must be implemented to break the cycle of crime. Remember I told you about the cycle? I was talking about early in the show, and it's the same thing we're talking. We're all on board, and we all come to the conclusion now that we need to initiate the programs and plans now and the solutions. Let me see. He said that the focus on incarceration comes at a more expensive cost to the government when compared with ensuring preventative measures are taken. It costs us $20,000 a year to house every inmate that's incarcerated. Now listen to that. So if you go to court and you get charged and you're sentenced or you're remanded in prison, it would cost us $20,000. Think about $20,000, and it's up to, they say 14, it was up to 1,700. Now it's down to 1,400 inmates and people on remand. And $20,000 on them yearly. So when you look at it, putting a person that is convicted, now we have to basically think about 1,400 that are incarcerated. When you do the maths, that's a whole heap of money. You can imagine that. What if we were to, if you can invest $20,000 on one inmate for something he did wrong and he's proven innocent, he's proven innocent until he's proven guilty, and if he's convicted, we're going to pay $20,000 for him for his 10 or 15 or 20 years or 25 years. And if you add that up, we don't even spend that type of money on one of our citizens. We tend to do chump change when it comes to these programs or initiative that are the front line. Our attention goes to the Defense Force. Our focus goes to the Royal Bombers Police Force on buying new cars, bulletproof vests, or new boats and new ships and new equipment, or pay increases. But when are we going to say to ourselves that we have a crime crisis and we have what is estimated? We're going to have one of our biggest financial year coming up this year in the Bahamas. And we have a $1 billion economy. And we're getting major development, major investments. I'm going to read some of that, but let me finish my comment. We have major investments coming from all across the world, coming to invest in the country. And yet still, we ain't say to ourselves that we need to be properly funded. We're supposed to be saying, like, you know what? We have the solution. We have the idea, but we need the funding. So why not let's tap into all of this investment coming in the country? And we have a crime problem. We have a child abuse problem, all right? We have a crime problem. We have an unemployment problem. And we all decide now that this has to do with the economy, okay? So let's take a little bit from these investors. And let's create a trust fund that deals specifically with crime prevention and properly funded so that people around Nassau, like Families for Murdered Victim, Candia, College Raid, and I want to say a heartfelt word of hope for the Reverend C.B. Moss. They say he he's feeling a little better. I hope that he recovers. He is a gem to the country. He's been fighting this battle a very long, long, long time. And it just shows you, you know, we can lose a person like him who has been fighting, and we still have not listened to a person like C.B. Morris or Carlos Reed or myself. So it shows you, you know, the people who really means good goes on deaf ears, and the government and whoever was in charge of the country just do what they want to do and neglect persons who are speaking the truth, not solutions. I mean, a person like C.B. Morris goes now, we lose an advocate who gives back, but he also talks about the crime solution. He always said, we got to provide opportunities, just like I'm saying and now Mr. Reed is saying. We're going to take this call. Go ahead, caller. You're on Inside the Inner City.
Hey, Scrooge. How you doing? It's Graham.
Hey, what's up, Graham?
Happy New Year. You know, you hit an accord there when you said we spend $20,000 on someone that's been incarcerated.
Mm.
And if you look at 20 years, you're almost half a million. And if they get a 40-year sentence, it's $1 million. But we wouldn't spend half a million or a million on you or anyone else.
Mm-hmm.
Would we? That is powerful.
Hmm.
And, you know, it seems like for the last that I've been watching 30 years, it stayed the same.
Mm-hmm.
Despite all the brilliant ideas from Reverend Moss and you and everyone else, we shouldn't be having any pain right now.
No.
Because if electricity and fuel
mm-hmm.
prices were to be almost nothing from our oil in this country.
If they listen to you.
And from our sun, we wouldn't have to worry about lettuce being more than $1.50.
I agree.
And Grant. You could grow it here. So I think that everyone is benefiting who needs to make sure it stays the same. And then, you know, Scrooge, I really look at this thing sensibly.
Mm.
The people are happy. Let me tell you, anyone call the show now and tell me you're not happy. And I will say to them, why aren't you on Bay Street? See, when people are unhappy in third world countries, south of the Bahamas, South America, Caribbean, we're in the Atlantic, they get out in the street and they do some things, sometimes violent things I don't approve of, but we ain't got nobody on the street, nobody in Bay Street protesting, nobody angry. When you see 200,000-300,000 people on Bay Street, Scrooge,
yeah,
then I can know they're serious and they really want to change things and let's fix the Bahamas. But until then, they're happy.
Mm.
And you know what they say? When I say that if you notice, the fast food is now $10 for a sandwich.
Yeah. And eggs?
$4 and $5. Now it's $8 and $10.
Mm-hmm.
But when I say that that same sandwich is $400 in Jamaica, they go, that's Jamaican money. Well, when it goes to $20 and $15 here, I'm just going to say, well, that's Bahamian money. You see, they don't understand what's happening. And it's sad. Let me leave you with one more thing. What is money? We don't teach money in school. What's money? Poor people think money is to earn every day, slave at some job, to pay bills, right? Right, Scrooge?
That's what it seems
like
to be.
Bill, yes. And rent and whatever. Middle class people, those people think money is to go to the bank and borrow even more money to buy big homes and fancy car debt. And they keep paying that debt. But rich people mm-hmm. teach their kids that money is for none of those things.
What is for, Graham?
Money is to invest, to do things
that's
with.
That's right.
Maybe you save up enough money, you buy a hot dog stand.
That's right.
And that starts to make you $10,000 a month.
It brings correct. Revenue back in.
And so rich people teach their kids money is something to keep. And what you do is you let that money, that $100 bill you make, have 10 babies. Then you could spend one of the babies.
Yes.
See, we're not teaching money in school.
That's right.
And we're not teaching ownership. You could write these two things down. We need to teach money, and we need to teach ownership. What do I mean by that? Well, you could go and work at a big hotel and make $350 a week making bed. Or you could close in one room in your house. Hmm? Put an exterior door and get $100 a night on Airbnb, right?
Makes sense.
And that's $700 a week.
Yeah, so you're going from $350. You're going from $350 now. You smart and creative. Now you're room, what you got now. Now you get income coming in.
Now you're making $700.
Now you're making, yes.
You don't mind making the bed for $700 a week. And the best part is you tax them another $80 to clean when they go. So I told all these ministers, yellow, red, don't matter what color. Look, we're going to own tourism. That's what they've been doing in Bimini and Abaco for the last 80 years. But now we're finally breaking free, and we're going to own tourism. So you know what they could do? We can put some tax on it.
Hmm.
Now you got to pay VAT on Airbnb. That's what's going to happen. Well, here's my thing. If you don't have a job and you only have your Airbnb, right, that's your income, right? So I'm now taxing your income. So did we have income tax happen all of a sudden and no one told us? You see how difficult that's going to be, Scrooge? Anyway, yeah. Let's teach money and let's teach ownership, and the whole country will change. And in doing so, you will create employment.
Yes.
You'll be converting your home. You'll be doing whatever you have to do to build something so that you, and you, if you're working on fixing up your place, you can't be breaking into someone else's because you're busy.
That's right, Graham.
Jobs fight crime.
It changed the mindset of the individuals in the country because their mindset has changed now.
It's a pleasure. I come in to see you.
Okay.
All right, man. Take care.
Thank you very much, Graham. You did a wonderful job of explaining some stuff. Simple people, he made a great suggestion. You know, you're working to a hotel, you're making $350, right? You're underpaid. But you go home, you have a room, you know, that you're not using. It has the bathroom. You know, you think, strategize, because like you said, the rich people teach their kids to invest because they know you could have $1 million. But if you go in a car lot with that $1 million and you buy a Ferrari or you buy a Ford Explorer for $40,000 or $50,000 or $80,000 or probably $90,000, that is not $1 million no more. And you keep on spending. So you're rich. You know, you get this $1 million and you keep on spending. It's not going to be $1 million no more. You understand? You keep on spending. You keep on spending. You keep on spending. You're balling, going to the nightclubs. When you look, you're down to $500,000. You keep on spending. But you got no income coming in. So Graham is a suggestion that we should teach business in school and how to make money. And that's what we need to teach in the school if we want to change the mindset. Because what a sense of me having $100 in my pocket, right? I guess get paid $100. I'm going to take the $100. I'm going to put $20 on BTC, $20 for grocery, and keep little something in my pocket and give my girl one little 20. So that's $100 gone. What am I getting back with the $100? But if I was to take the $100 and I say, you know what? I work to the convenience store. All right? Well, let me buy some sodas. You know, let me take this $56 and I'm going to buy some sodas. There are 24 bottles of soda in a case. So if you add it up, you'd say, you know what, let me sell them for $1.25 or $1. And you might have buy them for like $16, $17. So that's a profit margin. So that's what Graham was talking about. So that when you buy these sodas, you have income coming in. So the $100 you're getting paid at the end of the week, you increase that. And then you just keep on going from 5 cases of soda, you go to 7 cases of soda. And then 9 cases of soda, and then 10 cases, and then you start to see, and then you have a economy. Okay, let's take this call. Go ahead, caller. You're on Inside Inner City. Go ahead, caller.
If you'd like.
Again, next caller. Go ahead, caller. You're on Inside Inner City. Look like they left. Yeah. So, Graham is correct, and we need to teach how to make money and business in school if you want to change the mind. So like I said, all this comes down to involvement. Crime comes down to empowerment. Sexual abuse comes down to Sexual abuse. Yeah, I could go with that. Comes down to that because you ain't getting proper training and et cetera. And I want to say thanks to Graham and his wife. They have been very supportive of me in the community for many, many years. And, you know, Graham is a person who have given many solutions to the country over the course of the last 15, 20 years. And those solutions were very good solutions. And mind you, some are being implemented. But the benefit of helping people in society like Graham, C.B. Moss, myself, Carlos Ritten, many, many, many others, many, many, many others, if we were to empower those who give us these solutions, we can help change the landscape of the country. Yeah, because When I'm talking about Graham saying we're going to own the tourism ministry. Yes, we're going to own the tourism ministry. President of the Bahamas Hotel and Tourism Association, Robert Sandy Sands, said yesterday that bookings for the holiday seasons are strong and added that visitors arrival for the first 3 months of the fiscal year 2023 may be historic. That means we're going to have a high volume of tourists. Booking for the festival seasons are very strong, and we are encouraged by the bookings over the spirit, Sands told reporters. I can also report that many hotels in New Providence are also looking at very strong bookings for this period as well. Now, we get all this record, we're going to break history. We're going for 10 million. I think we're going for 10 million visitors. I think the record was 7.7 in 2018. Now, we're going for 10 million this year. And they're saying the hotels are booked out. And Graham is talking about A, B, and B. All right? So what about these inner city communities that the guests are walking around? You know, there was a, I can't remember, there was a representative from one of the coolest industry in the country. He's saying that it's expected to have this record-breaking booking of tourists. But he said it's such a shame, and he's from the coolest industry. He said it's such a shame that there's no entertainment or no stop spot for the guests. You know, he said Nassau is so boring. So what a sense we're having 10 million visitors come to our shores, which they're going to spend, but they're going to spend little. They're spending a little, and we could get them to spend more, but they only spend a little because what's going to entice a guest that comes to the Bahamas? They're looking for culture, tradition. They're looking for happy spots for them to sit down and green spaces and calves and interaction with him and people getting their hair braided and getting their hair cut and sitting down having some Kong salad or Kong fritters in the inner city in the local bars and etc. That's what they want. That's what makes them spend more. But they're coming here seeing things from China and seeing the same things they travel around the world. They're seeing it in the Bahamas and they've seen it on Bay Street. So we have to be creative. You understand? That's what Graham is talking about. You know, very creative. And two, the cruise port expect to welcome over 4 million passengers in 2023, and it's still going to go up. The central bank also reported in October that an air arrival for the Bahamas in September saw a 125.8% increase over the record year of 2019. You hear that? 125.8% increase in air arrivals. That is not even the cruise ship. This is the air arrivals now. So they're coming in from bunches from all over the world. The report noted that for the first 9 months of 2022, total visitors arrival were 4,758,124 compared to 954,859 during the same period last year. Now listen, I could read numbers. You ain't get me like how y'all get a woman in the House of Parliament. I was on the street, but at least when my grandma sent me to school, she gave me egg sandwich, she gave me a juice. And she tell me, boy, go to school and read and write and go count because no one gonna rob you. So I could tell my digits and I could read and write. I could get numbers right. The report said the tourism sector continues to strengthen month by month, reflective of relaxed COVID-19 restriction and pent-up demands for travel in the key source market. Minister of Tourism and Investment and Aviation, Chester Cooper, also said he thinks tourism numbers in 2023 will suppress those seen in 2019 before the impact of Harry and Dorian and the COVID-19 pandemic. The Bahamas welcomed 7.2 million visitors in 2019, a record. We have the irons in the fire, we're carrying the meshes, and I look forward to completing this year in line with 2019 and 2023 ahead of 2019, he said earlier this month. We're going to take this call. Go ahead, caller. You're on Inside Inner City.
Yes. How you doing, Scrooge?
I'm fine.
Good. Wonderful. Listen here, Scrooge.
Yes, sir.
Right there in Pompey Square.
Yes, sir.
You know what they could do? put up the maypole, you know, the platen of the maypole.
Yes, sir. Oh, yes. Yes.
The tourists will draw to that. Teach them how to do that when they come up. That's right there close to the ship.
Yes.
Another thing, there the Takini, the hut is there by the Western Esplanade. What they need to do is have folks, some incentive, the Kamalami boat?
Yes,
Kamalami boat. Teach them how to sail them. They could be in the water because a lot of them is there in the beach, and they can have a little, I remember years ago, they have a lot of Kamalami boat races.
Yes, I remember now. Yes, sir. Yeah, I remember what you're talking about now. Yes, sir.
That's something native. Teach them how to rig it and everything. Not only that, man, I was growing up, you ever to race the coconut bark?
I remember that. You go back me 40, 50 years.
You take that, you should take the top off the can, put it in for the runner, and you use the coconut stem and the leaf for the sail.
Remember,
so it's a lot of things
that we can
like that. Another thing, right on the beachfront. Now, you might not know about this. You ever saw people's skull boat?
I heard about it. I might have saw it too.
Right there. That's something native. That's something they never seen. Some Bahamians don't know what it is, skull and boat. So they can have maybe four or five boats out there. And that's teach you got these old men to teach Bahamians even now how the skull boat. Yeah. It's because that's something unique.
Yeah.
But when they come here, they hear the Jamaican music. Like you said, they go in the straw market. Everything is from China and all the mother countries. Why we cannot just say strictly that thing is for Bahamian products only.
I agree. Yes, sir. That's what we're going to be talking.
And see, and if they don't do that, or when they come in there by the square two, teach them how to beat the drum.
I tell you, Junknu is the master. No, God, tell him.
So that's so important. Teach them how to beat the drum. Shake the cowbell right there in the square. Another thing, the heel and toe dance, the quadrille. If you have to import the people from Cat Island, to be in the square during the summer, it's a lot of things. When they come here, there's nothing authentic that Bahamians experience that they go away with.
Nothing
to wow them. Say, boy, you gotta come back, and they tell your friends, man, hey,
I've been to this spot, or I've been to this Junknu Shack, or I've been to this life, you know, something.
So all day, it's a lot of stuff. But like someone said, the politicians could win elections, but they can't run the country.
Yeah, so.
You know? And so that taste like that is very, very, well, especially in the islands. I mean, I remember years ago, that's what they used to do. The tourists used to come in, like I said, especially during the regatta, the Kamalami boat race, stuff like that.
They love them stuff.
And you check all those other Caribbean countries, and you check everything there is native. Everything is passed down generation to generation.
Yes.
But we're losing it big time.
Yes, we are.
But keep up the work, Scrooge.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much. You did a wonderful job. Yeah. I like the caller stated, you know, we have to be creative. You know, the tourists are coming here. They're coming to the Bahamas. They want to spend. They want to interact. But I listened to one of the representatives from the cruise industry, and I can't remember which cruise ship he was on, but he made some recommendations saying, you know, wow, we have this record, we bring these guests from around the world to the Bahamas, and he's saying, you know, basically is a desert, and he also stated that the tourist has no place to go or to be entertained, so that's why you have to think of the box. So why do you think we have so much unemployment in the country? You understand? It makes no sense to me. Here's why. Look here. Heads of agreement signed for 175 million Exuma projects. See Chester Cooper? He's investing. He's bringing investors to Exuma and Ragged Island. And he's going to be elected a few times for Ragged Island and Exuma and Ragged Island. It's going to be hard to beat him. You know why? Because he's going to be like Glennis Hannah Martin. You know, because she puts the effort in on the ground. And he, right now, is leading the way on finding empowerment, opportunities. He's dealing with the crime issues in this country, because once you have these programs going and projects, there's going to be a lot of money to be made and a lot of businesses to be run. And a lot of A, B, and B is going to be very beneficial to that community. So Chester Cooper is doing a wonderful job. But I just want you to listen. They're signing a head of agreement for 175 Exuma projects. We're going to take this next call, and I'm going to get back to reading that comment. Go ahead, you're on Inside Inner City.
Yeah, good evening, Mr. Brown.
Good night to you.
All right. Yeah, Mr. Brown, in reference to what Carlos Reed said and the job that you and Carlos Reed doing, yeah, you and Carlos Reed are doing an excellent job, you know. You know, in your category and what you have done throughout the years, your experience in the field that you are in would allow you to have a good insight, and of Carlos Reed have a very good insight on those situations, and I think for you to stick with that is a good thing. Yes, a lot of money is being spent on rehabilitation, which I think what you're trying to do is you're really trying to correct a problem that you saw for firsthand,
yes,
and try to get a better condition going for patients who may find themselves in that position, which is excellent.
Yeah.
You'll get A for that. Now, you know, in each they have categories of each things that patients will be able to do. I know they have the Ministry of Work, Ministry of National Security, they have the Minister of Immigration, and so forth. And these individuals, basically, the Minister of National Security should be more concerned about the safety of the citizens, and the safety to make sure that children and people alike are safe. And that has to do with, rehabilitation is good, but when you come down to persons who are really committing murders,
yes,
it's hard to really look at it as rehabilitation that would really correct that problem.
Yes, you're correct.
Because I'm sure you would realize that worldwide, you would see that the United States, which is the most powerful nation on earth, they have a proper rehabilitation program in place. And that's not even working for them. The reason being is that people have a different mindset.
Yes.
Some people will change, and some people certainly will not. They'll laugh at you all day when you tell them change.
Yes, sir.
So you have to have something in place,
yes,
to deal with these individuals who are toting firearms and just causing harm to humans.
Yes.
I mean, humanity, you know, they cause serious harm and injury to inflicting wounds on persons.
Yes.
Now, where is all good? You're doing an excellent job. I would never take that from you. And you and Carlos Reed, but far as the Minister of National Security is and the Minister of Immigration, they're doing a terrible job. And let me tell you why I say that. They cannot connect themselves to your program.
Yes, yes.
That's what I'm saying. You are doing a good job by advising them. They cannot connect themselves to you.
Yes.
They cannot say, well, okay, I was the president before. I'm coming up with these situations. No, you are advising them to come up with these situations, which you are getting the A for that, not them.
Yes.
Now, their position now, they haven't started workers yet. They haven't started their jobs yet. Because if you realize that this immigration problem is completely out of hand.
Yes, yes.
The people was complaining in Andras. Now people complaining in other islands. People complaining in Abaco. And all the Minister of National Security and the Prime Minister saying, oh, don't worry about it. We can get to it. See, these kind of things, Mr. Brown,
yes, sir,
annoy the public.
Yes, sir.
All it's right. Annoying. You know why? Because we look at them as people who could be above the law while we sitting here have to be governed by the law.
Yes, sir.
They're not governed by the law. Don't care what they say.
No, they're not.
Go ahead, Mr. Brown.
No, you correct, sir. Go ahead. You up the floor, sir.
Okay. They're not going by no law, Mr. Brown. Right? The thing is, you and Carlos Reed are going more by the law than any one of them. They cannot fit in your shoes. Okay? So I'm saying this. When you have crimes such as people committing with firearms, and you could get on the radio and say, oh, you know, they had bad home training, that's why they're killing one another. That's the foolishest thing I've ever heard in all my life.
You have people who are educated, people who plot to kill their wives for insurance money.
Yes.
And these are people who, wealthy people who does these things.
Yes, sir.
So it's proof that it has a lot to do with the mindset of the yes, person, sir. Other yes, than them trying to use an excuse that they just poor, they can't do no better.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Sometimes this is a mindset.
It is.
So because it's a mindset, you have to set a boundary line. You have to set a line that you can say, guess what? If you cross over this line four times,
that's
ain't no more line for you.
Uh-huh. Yes, sir.
You cannot give it an open. You cannot say, indefinitely, we can try to rehabilitate you. Mm. In the United States Rehabilitation Center, they have this thing in place. If they don't catch you by 18, if you don't listen to them by 18, they have no interest in you no more. I need you to check that out.
Yeah, because I know why they're saying 18. They know you can't be properly rehabilitated unless you change your own mindset. Other than that, you would just be causing great harm to society and great harm to yourself.
Thank you.
You're right. You're right.
Thank you. So this is what I'm saying. Everybody, they keep on coming on this radio talking about rehabilitation, right? It is good. It is very good. You know why it's very good? Because. It's very good because you would be able to say, you had a chance to change and you didn't. We don't hear nothing from you no more. Mm. Let me say something about the schools a minute.
Go ahead, sir.
I've been around those schools and I can tell you, they need to change them security officers to those schools. Let me tell you what has happened. You have private security, right?
Yes, sir.
Now, see, because that's the school I'm saying that, but if that was somewhere else, I would say, okay, give that person a chance to change.
Yes, sir.
Because I would say that the school children, that school is supposed to be spick and span, no one with no criminal record in there. Mm. This might even have seen it. In yes, schools, sir. I'm saying now, don't get me wrong, I say in schools.
Yes, sir, yes, sir.
No one with criminal records should be guarding that gate. I see people there who was up for murder before. You know the tears what they have on their eyes, right? The teardrop, what they say.
Yes, sir.
The same on the people they kill, right?
Yes, sir.
I see people to the security gate with that on their eyes. I saw a security officer one time, I always said this. Someone was robbing them, right? He pulled out a firearm from the security gate. AFRD, I can tell you the school. Mm-hmm. And he took off the shots, right? And he said, look here, you all think I play. Don't play the security. Y'all think they ain't army. Honestly, this is what I saw, right? I'm saying that to say, plenty of people who have criminal records from the private, because, you know, once you're a private security, they don't investigate you. They need that up the security company to send you.
Screen them, so you want them to be screened properly.
Yeah. They need to be screened properly. If you check that logbook, you know why? They could be responsible for bringing firearms and giving weapons to the children because they would take that bribe.
Wow.
I want you to understand this. This is real. I'm telling you something that I guess in.
You're speaking, sir. You're speaking.
This is something what I experience firsthand. Mm. The people saying, oh, he's that security, he's a gangster. He lives right down by us. And look here, ain't that never supposed to happen?
No. I agree.
So I want you, when you see Wayne Monroe.
Yes, sir.
To tell Wayne Monroe they need to do better screening with those security officers they got in them private companies because they put anybody that I gave, they don't care.
I will.
So I need you to do that for me, please. Now, see, one more thing I know other people want to call it. One more thing, please, Mr. Brown.
Go ahead.
Now, see, what happened is the reason why crime to me is so high because of the slackness of the authority. They see no seriousness in penalty. They see no seriousness. So in order for you to gain the public trust and confident that they don't have to revenge people, is that the law and the court has to tighten up on their sentencing and their way of keeping people in custody. Mm. You can't just cut up my children and come out the next day and walk the street and expect me to be able to have faith enough to bear that I wouldn't do them nothing.
Yeah.
The system has to tighten up its belt when it comes down to having people
on bail.
Not only out on bail, you know, Mr. Brown, having people properly sentenced when they commit a crime.
Yes, sir.
So legislation has to, see, they're not moving to put legislation in place to have these people pay for the crimes they commit.
Yes.
Look at you when you go in the United States, they're giving you 100 and something years, 200 and something years. You see how much...
You'd be dead.
Bankman ain't killed nobody, and he had a $250 million bond.
Yeah.
Ain't killed no one.
Yeah.
You have people out here on cheap motors, and even over $60,000 bills.
Yes, sir. You're right.
And this is and this the kind of thing they're doing. And if they don't, if they do not allow the public to be convinced that they don't have to go after a person that they're going to deal with them by law, they're going to have more crime because people can take the law into their own hands.
That's what it is. That's what it is. That's exactly what's going on.
That's what they're going to do. You see how they're sitting down saying, oh, don't worry about the immigration problem. The people are saying, we're a flock, Mr. Davis. You said, Mr. Honorable Davis, you said you can deal with that problem from you at that first complaint. Yeah. You ain't moved yet.
You're right, sir.
All them children would then get all those mothers who then get killed from the hands of victims of men. You know, they said those could do something. They do nothing yet for that. Men are not taking money to build a person, right?
Yes, sir.
I mean, listening to you, that's a good job. You're doing excellent. But Ray Monroe is a drop in the bucket. Because guess what? Ray Monroe, all them children get killed. All them mothers get killed. The woman, the last girl, screamed like hell for help.
Yeah.
Ain't none of them came to arrest you. Wow. They keep Ray Monroe taking money and putting it towards rebuilding people who go out in heaven, know they can change. Tell Ray Monroe, you gotta get serious, man. This country in a mess, Mr. Brown. Keep up the good job. You already passed your test. You only go on extension now.
Yes, sir.
Thank you very much, sir.
Thank you very much,
all right.
That was a mouthful. Thank you very much, Carl. You made some great great comments. And that's what we like. We want for new callers to call in on the show and have a platform for you guys to give your opinion. And see, that's your opinion, but sometimes your opinion can actually be the right opinion. You know, sometimes what you say can actually be the truth, you know? So that just, wow. All right. I want to comment on something real quick. I'm talking about the Royal Bahamas Police Force. I want to say this. The Commissioner of Police, Clayton Fernando, and Ankle Monitoring Department of the Royal Bahamas Police Force have stepped up. They have stepped up. There are surveillance on the anklet bracelets. So if you're not properly charging it or if you're trying to take it off, because they have found out that those who are wearing the anklet monitored bracelet are the ones who either are killed or involved in violent crimes in the country. So the Royal Bahamas Police would have noticed that two guys who wear an anklet bracelet now, if they come to your establishment, just say if you have a bar, and two guys who are seriously charged, just what Carlos referring to. Two guys who, you know, have an anklet bracelet on, charged for serious offenses, are in a bar. Chances are, in about 30 to 40 minutes, the police will pull up. Because they're monitoring guys now to make sure that two or three guys who are wearing an anklet bracelet cannot be in the same place. So let me say this to all business establishment. The law is decided based on the statistics of repeated guys who come into the prison, are charged for serious offenses, murder, or attempted murder against someone's loved one. And the caller was referring to that. You know, they come out of the jail and they're going to pass me in the streets. How am I supposed to take that and you hurt my family? So eventually you're going to get me mad and agitated. Even if I'm not mad and agitated. But just seeing you, knowing you hate my sister, knowing you hate my mother, knowing you hate my brother, knowing you hate my cousin, or someone in my family, seeing you, you know, it gets me riled up and costs me. You want to get a gun off. I already bought a gun just because I want to get you. My gun is for nobody else but you. Because I have a feeling that you're going to come back right around and try to take somebody else. And then I ain't trusting it, the system, you know, because they're being released. Like the caller said, you understand? So when I see you, you agitate me because this guy is supposed to be serving 100 or 150 years in prison, man. I don't want to see him no more so I could get on with my life. But seeing him and knowing that I know without reasonable doubt that this is the one who is responsible for killing my loved one, how do you think I'm going to feel? And you pass in the streets like you're so big and bad and that you ready to do this again. So what you think is going to happen to me who is an innocent citizen who are hurt bad seeing you pass or knowing you hang up somewhere down the road that like you no care in the world, like you ain't hurt nobody. It can't work in the Bahamas. So the police now stepped up on that. So I'm saying to business establishment, if you're in your bar, nightclub, or wherever you are, you're going to have to stop guys who wear an ankle bracelet from coming in your establishment. Because what we're getting the fang on now, the way these guys go with these ankle bracelet, people follow them and tend to come after them. And when they come to shoot them or kill them, they are in an environment where they were civilized poison. So they're in a bar where they are charged with murder or attempted murder. Right? So they come out. You're in a bar where you have law-abiding citizens. Got people who work hard, just come to the nightclub, to the bar to drink, one or two beer before they go home, and get chastised from their wife, you know, row and all that. So some guys come to chill out, or sometimes the wife or the girlfriend would go to the bar after work just to get a couple of few drinks, or go fish fry, or go pour a ski dog. So now you have someone who charged with a serious offense, hurt somebody, or hurt a couple other people, comes to the establishment, him and his friend, you know, guys, here you're there. Your establishment full of 30 people who don't have no clue whatsoever what's going on. But you and your friend, y'all are mad murderers, but y'all want to come be played like y'all civilized. Y'all wanted to be civilized, and y'all want to get yourself involved in serious crime, and y'all want to not really brace it on. So you can't be the same as me, who is a law-abiding citizen. You should be nowhere in the establishment with an ankle bracelet. The police are during the John Canoe parades. They didn't allow one person who had an ankle bracelet to go downtown Bay Street. Not one person was allowed. So that's why Bay Street ran so smooth. Now, I'm not criticizing the guys who get your ankle bracelet. But guys who wear these ankle bracelets, they know many of y'all who have ankle bracelet. But you know that ankle bracelet is a tracking device. And the police follows you with that tracking device. Many of you will find ways to avoid that. But now the police have stepped up and get it more sophisticated with the security monitoring system of the ankle bracelet. So business establishment, you're going to tell guys who get ankle bracelet, don't come to the establishment because they're endangering the lives of citizens who come to spend money. You understand? Okay? And I'm not saying this to be discriminative, but it'll save the general public life. And those who charge a serious offense and tell you in your case, until you get rid of your ankle brace, and tell you you're not a threat to society, or for someone coming for retaliation, I would suggest that business owners, just like other police, stop those with ankle bracelets from going downtown the jungle just because the mentality of the thinking of that individual, what the damage they would did downtown Bay Street. But the police didn't allow them, so that's why there was less assault, less fights. You understand? Because I feel that a poison man ankle bracelet should not be allowed to be roaming around freely in the country, in and out, business establishment, hanging up till 12, 1 o'clock with ankle bracelet on, in an environment where all of us are law-abiding citizens, just want to have a good time. So when them guys come and they see them and they run up on them and they want to shoot, the poison who they want to shoot gets away sometime, the majority of the time, and then innocent people get hit. So I like the approach that the police are taking now. So if you're in a car and you and your friend get an ankle bracelet, three of y'all or two of y'all, the police is going to pull y'all over. They monitor you guys now. So if you're smart, stay home with your ankle bracelet. Stay away from your friend who have an ankle bracelet because you want to be traveling around with your friend. You might want to travel around with your gun because you know your life in danger, but you don't know how when your friend in a car with you without an ankle bracelet, it's going to draw attention and the police is going to get you. They're monitoring you guys. That came directly from the police headquarters, from Commissioner Fernando. And that's their strategy. And it worked, because you saw it work to the John Canoe Parade. Okay? So, next week, I'm going to continue this topic. We're going to have all the statistics next week about all hands on deck about the crime issue in the country. I will be having none other than Dr. Dave Burrows from Bahamas Faith Ministries, head pastor at Bahamas Faith Ministries, to come and spend an hour and a half here on Guiding Radio next week to talk about all hands on deck and what we are doing to be advising the government on the way forward on how we can help decrease the child abuse statistics the murder statistics and the crime problem in the country. Okay? Again, right now. And the call I forget, before I go, we're talking about Bahamians complaining to the Prime Minister about the migrants taking over the country. Well, Harbour Island are sending complaints. And he said, North Lutra MP says the problem is getting worse in Harbour Island in Lutra because of the influx of illegal immigrants coming there for work. So, yes, I'd give the Minister of National Security a F because they're not doing enough to put the proper policing and security measures put in place to protect the Bahamian people from illegal immigrants in East Family Island in the Bahamas. So, without further ado, I hope you enjoyed the show. I'm Valentin O'Brien, host of the talk show Inside the Inner City, and I'll see you next week on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM.
Fire, you're definitely fine, smoke it on, bro. Boy, I from it on, bro. Bro, bro.
Bahamas, son, that boy, what happened? Huh? Shredded of being done, boy, from being done. What are you doing to me, man? Oh, hello. Again?
I represent Bahamian people. I from Nassau, Bahamas, bigger being done, bro. Boy, I from Dayton, bro. Don't take no back talk, no bribe or no joke. If you find fire, you're definitely fine. Smoke it on, bro. Boy, I from Dayton, bro. Bro, bro.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.